This is Brother Cassieri. As we continue our study in the course on the book of Joshua, the last time we were together, we began lesson number 8, entitled Sin in the Camp, which covers chapter 7 of Joshua. And we're going to finish lesson number 8, Sin in the Camp. The last time we were together, we started to look at how sin was dealt with, or how we should deal with sin, amen? Be it how they dealt with it there in Joshua chapter 7, and how we are to deal with it in our life. We saw, first of all, we looked at the remedy for sin. The remedy for sin. In verses 13 through 15, of Joshua chapter 7. We saw, first of all, there's got to be sanctification. We need to separate ourselves from sin. Recognition, second of all, acknowledge your sin. Decision, be willing to deal with your sin quickly, whatever the problem may be. And number 4, confess your sin. Get it right with God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Now, next we want to look at, as we're talking about dealing with sin, is we want to look at the rationale for sin. The rationale for sin. And we turn to Joshua chapter 7 again. And we want to look at verses 16 through 21 as we look at the rationale for sin. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zarahites, and he brought the family of Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua, and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. The rationale for sin. Well, the rationale for sin, I think the thinking in one's mind, and I believe it was so in Achan's mind, was the attitude, I'll never get caught. Amen. But of course, we know that our sins will find us out sooner or later. Achan did 3 things. Let's look at verse 21 of Joshua chapter 7 again, and we'll go over them. Achan said this, When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. He did 3 things. He saw not sin, unless looking for it, which Achan was. He coveted, and that is where sin grabs a person. He took, and this is where the person grabs the sin. Amen? Now, what we want to do next is this in our lesson. We're going to make a chart, and I want to you to pay particular attention as we go through this chart. In the title of the chart is called The Process of Sin. And we're going to make three columns. Column under the process, first we'll have actually four columns. The process of sin. The second column will have Eve, Genesis chapter 3 in verses 6 through 8. Then the next column will have Achan, Joshua chapter 7 verse 21 under Achan. And then David in the fourth column, 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 2 through 17. Now, first of all, what we want to see is, we're under the first column now, the process of sin, and we want to put there seeing. And under seeing, we want to see the lust of the eyes. Amen, the lust of the eyes. Now, as we go over to the second column, under Eve, we want to put, she saw the fruit. She saw the fruit. Amen? And then, under Achan, we want to see, as we're making a comparison, okay, Eve, Achan, and David. So Eve, she saw the fruit. Achan, he saw the goods. And then David, he saw Bathsheba. Alrighty, now going back over to column number one, the process of sin, the second thing we want to put down, number one was seeing, the lust of the eyes. Number two, coveting, the lust of the flesh, coveting, lust of the flesh. And then under Eve, next to coveting, the lust of the flesh, She desired. Under Achan, he coveted. We're told that he coveted. And then under David, he inquired. He wanted to know more about Bathsheba. He inquired. He wanted to know more. Again, going back over to the column number one, the process of sin. The third, we have seeing, the lust of the eyes, coveting, the lust of the flesh. And number three there, rationalizing, pride of life. Rationalizing, pride of life. Now under Eve, the second column, next to rationalizing the pride of life, we have wanted to be wise like gods. Wanted to be wise like gods. Under Achan, wanted to be rich like others. Wanted to be rich like others. David, wanted pleasure like Uriah. Going back to the process of sin, the fourth thing in that column we have is taking. The word taking. And then under the column, under Eve, she took. Under Achan, he took. Under David, he took. And then, going back to the first column, entitled The Process of Sin, the last thing, the fifth thing in that column, we have is hiding. Hiding, and I want to give you a scripture reference. John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Let's turn there, in fact, to John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And of course, this is going to go under hiding, under the process of sin. John chapter 3, 18, verses 18 to 21. And Jesus said this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. In this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And of course, Jesus is talking about here those who try to cover up their sin, their evil. Amen? Okay, so then, under column number one, the process of sin, you should have the following. Seeing, lust of the eyes. Number two, coveting, lust of the flesh. Rationalizing, pride of life. Number four, taking. Number five, hiding. And along with that, we have the scripture reference, John chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Now, under Eve, for hiding, we should have, she hid her sin. She hid her sin with fig leaves, and then hid herself in the trees. She hid her sin with fig leaves, and then hid herself in the trees. So under Eve, the column entitled Eve, we have the scripture reference, Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. And then after that, we have five things that we want to put in that column. In column, the first column under Eve, she saw the fruit. The second, she desired. The third, wanted to be wise like gods. The fourth, she took. The fifth, she hid her sin with fig leaves and then hid herself in the trees. Now, the third column, we have Achan with the scripture reference, Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. And in the column under Achan, first of all, we have, he saw the goods. Then second, he coveted. Third, wanted to be rich like others. Fourth, he took. And then fifth, he hid his sin in the ground under his tent. And then under David, which is our last column, the fourth column, David. And under David, we have the scripture reference, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 17. And this is what should follow in that column under David. First of all, he saw Bathsheba. Second, he inquired, wanted to know more. Third, wanted pleasure like Uriah. Fourth, he took. Fifth, tried to hide his sin by getting Uriah to take his wife and then by having Uriah murdered. Tried to hide his sin by getting Uriah to take his wife and then by having Uriah murdered. So, we have a nicely put together chart here on the process of sin. And we see there are four basic things to sin: seeing, coveting, rationalizing, taking, and hiding. Now, again, as we're looking with sin dealt with, we've looked at the remedy for sin, the rationale for sin, and now lastly, we want to look at the results of sin. The results of sin. Going back to Joshua chapter number 7 with me, we'll begin in verse 22 of Joshua chapter 7, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter, which is to verse 26. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, in the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, his sons and his daughters, his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So the result of sin. First of all, the disclosure of sin. The disclosure of sin. Amen. We want to look at the disclosure of sin. Turn with me over to Luke. See, first, as we're looking at the result of sin, first of all, the sin has to be found out or disclosed. Amen. And let's turn to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter number 12 with me, please. In Luke 12, we want to look at verses 2 and 3 of Luke chapter 12. Jesus is speaking. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. See, people, you know, like Achan believed he was getting away with it. But after a while, your sin catches up with you. It's disclosed, as Jesus said. You know, we may think we're talking to someone, we're whispering, but someday it's all going to be revealed. Amen? It's going to all be revealed for the Christian at the judgment seat of Christ, for the unsaved at the great white throne judgment. Amen? Whatever is spoken in darkness will be brought to light. And, of course, we just read in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verses 18 through 21, Jesus was talking about those who try to cover up their sin, whose deeds are evil, are going to be revealed, amen, are going to be disclosed, amen. They don't like to come into light because they'll be exposed because their deeds are evil, amen. And then in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 with me, Matthew chapter number 12, and in verse number 36, Matthew 12, verse 36 with me, Jesus said, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Amen. Your sin will eventually be disclosed, amen. If not on this earth, then in the next life to come. Now, we're looking at the result of sins. We looked at the disclosure of sin. Second, we want to look at death. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Even after Achan confessed, he was put to death. Why? Well, his confession was not until he was forced to confess. Amen. He was found out. He had no choice. Amen. He could have, when they lost the battle initially, come to David, thrown himself on the mercy of God, on the mercy of David, and confessed and humbled himself. But he didn't. He disclosed his sin. Amen. He tried to cover up, but it was disclosed. It was brought out, amen? God brought it out. Now, turn with me to Philippians. I want to make a point on, tie something in with this. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter number 2, in verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God, that's God the Father, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, him is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And what this is talking about, like we're trying to tie this into where Achan didn't confess until he was forced to confess, and that's what's going to happen someday. All will confess Jesus is Lord, but some will do it when it's too late, when they're forced to do it. Amen. When they could have had an opportunity to do it voluntarily before they died. They had an opportunity. Right now, everyone that's alive has an opportunity to receive, to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and to confess Him as Lord right now and be saved. But it's going to be too late when it's forced, when they're going to have to do it. Amen. It'll be done after they're dead, before that. There's no longer an opportunity to receive Christ. And of course, death, for the wages of sin is death. We're not only talking about physical death, but more importantly, a spiritual death. Our soul is eternal. And that spiritual death is separation from Almighty God for eternity in a lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. Finally, under the result of sin, we looked at the disclosure of sin, death as a result of sin, and then destruction. We saw that everything of Achan's was destroyed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 for a moment. Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Amen. We all have an effect. We're not living unto ourselves alone. We have effect on those around us. The result of Achan's sin affected those around him, his family. They were destroyed equally. And what we must remember as Christians, we cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose everything that we've worked for since we were saved. Amen. We can lose our reward. Because we're told, and we'll lose that reward, amen, at the judgment seat of Christ. See, after we're saved, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Good works don't save us, but after we're saved, amen, we are to do good works to glorify our Father in heaven. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8 through 10. We're usually very familiar what it says in verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But it continues, and we read, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as a result, after an individual is saved, as a believer, he is to do good works. Amen. But if we continue in sin, amen, we can lose everything that we have worked hard for after we were saved. We're at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, just for a minute, so we can tie all this in together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 and following. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's the motivation behind the work? Is it to please God or to please men? If it's to please men, then it's in the wood, hay, and stubble, and it won't last. It'll be burned up in the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Amen? So, after the testing of your work by fire, if it's still there, you'll have a reward. And he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He'll lose his rewards, but, it says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Amen? You won't lose your salvation. A Christian's sin, we must remember, can affect a whole lot of other people. And I believe the higher up in authority you are within the church, amen, for example, the pastor, if he falls to sin, he affects even more people, amen, than just a certain individual in the pew, amen. So that's why we need as pastors, amen, to be walking close to God, to avoid putting any wickedness before our eyes, to purge ourselves, amen, of the old man daily, to present our bodies daily as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, amen. Because as pastors, amen, we can affect a lot of people, amen. And so can't the individual Christian, I'm saying. He can affect not only his family, but those that are unsaved around him. He can lose his testimony for Christ. And maybe even some folks would not get saved, amen. As we conclude our lesson here, what's the principle that we want to learn? Well, Achan should have died to his old self back at the Jordan River. But what happened? Instead, he kept his love for gold instead of trading it in for love for God. You know, Jesus reminds us of something very important. In the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In Matthew 6:24. And that's what I believe Achan was trying to do. He was trying to serve God and mammon. And what happened? He messed up. And the same thing will happen to you and I as Christians if we don't die to the old self, amen, and we keep that love, amen, for material things, for mammon, and try to serve that and serve the mammon, amen, and serve God. It's not going to work out. So you better make up your mind right now. Amen. Amen. That you're going to die to self. Leave that love for the material things of the world behind. Amen. And trade them in for the love of God. If Achan had done that, Israel would not have lost that battle at Ai. Amen. he would have not only, he would have been alive and his family would have been alive and he would have had all that he had before. Amen. But let's learn, amen, from Achan's mistakes as Christians. Amen. Well, that concludes lesson number 8. And now we're going to begin lesson number 9. Lesson number 9. Lesson number 9 is going to cover chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Joshua. And lesson number 9 is entitled, Getting Back in the Fight. Getting Back in the Fight. Now, it's a bit of an introduction. For the children of Israel, Ai had been a place of embarrassment and defeat. Nevertheless, God wanted them to conquer and have victory over it as well as all the land of Canaan. For the Christian, there are many, many areas of embarrassment and defeat in life, but God intends for us to conquer and have victory over even those areas that we have failed in before. The real failure in life is not the one who gets knocked down. The real failure in life is the one who stays knocked down and doesn't get up. Amen. Just a very quick review of the chapters that we've already looked at. Chapter 1, we saw preparing to serve. Amen. Preparing to serve. Chapter 2, taking up the challenge. Chapter 3, the crossing of the Jordan River. Chapter 4, Memorials, reckoning yourself to be dead. Number 5, preparing for the battles. Number 6, the first stronghold, Jericho. And chapter 7, sin in the camp. As long as sin was present in the midst of the children of Israel, no victory was possible. But once sin had been dealt with, the children of Israel now moved on to the next objective of conquering Ai and Bethel. So now we pick up with our next lesson here of getting back in the battle. First, we want to look at the battle of Ai in Joshua chapter number 8. And of course, getting back in the battle covers the entire chapter 8 of Joshua. But the battle at Ai covers verses 1 through 29. But first, as we look at the battle of Ai, we want to look at the plan in verses 1 through 8. The plan in verses 1 through 8. Let's look down in Joshua chapter 8 with me, verses 1 through 8. And we read, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, and saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they first come out against us at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, They flee before us, as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. So, we're looking here at the plan, the battle plan, amen? This time, we want to see, this time, the plan comes from the Lord. Remember last time when they were defeated, they didn't even go and ask God, they didn't even pray to God, they didn't ask him how to fight the battle or anything, they just went, amen? They were very prideful. And the principle that we want to learn is to learn your lessons well. Learn your lessons well. You know, we're going to make mistakes, but don't keep making the same mistake in your Christian walk over and over and over again. Remember always to seek the Lord's will first. Not after everything has fallen apart like in chapter 7, amen, like we just saw. That's how we can prevent things from falling apart, is if we, first of all, seek the Lord's will always first on something. Amen? Now let's look at what the plan calls for. First of all, courage. Life will not always be like Jericho. Amen? You must face your fears and your past defeats. Amen? See, they had the Jericho experience and the Ai experience. And things aren't going to always come easy, like in Jericho. And of course, that was their own fault in Ai because they didn't listen to the Lord like they did in Jericho. Not only must you face your fears and your past defeats, you must face your enemies also, amen? Satan himself, amen, is our enemy. He's our adversary, the Bible tells us. He's an accuser of the brethren. Also, another enemy is persecution. Paul wrote, Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. Another enemy. Bad attitudes. Bad attitudes and sins in your life. Bad attitudes and sins in your life. So we need to face our enemies. You obtain courage. You obtain courage in the same way that you obtain faith. And how's that? From the written words of God. Remember what Paul said over in the book of Romans in chapter 10 in verse 17? Paul said this, For then faith cometh by how? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what did the Lord tell Joshua in chapter 1 in verses 6 through 9? He said, Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then he continues and he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So you need to obtain courage the same way you obtain faith from the written words of God. And maybe, Christian, if you're listening now on this lesson, student, maybe you don't have the courage that you ought to have because you're not in the book like you should be, amen? That's where we get. We can go back to Joshua and read, as we just read, be strong and of good courage. God said to them, because I promised their fathers that I was going to give them a land, and I'm not reneging on my promise. Amen? Human beings may fall back and not keep their promises, but God always keeps his promises. Amen? He's saying, be strong and of good courage, and do all that I've commanded you to do. Amen? Meditate on the word that I've given you, and as a result, you'll be prosperous. Maybe the reason we're not prosperous as Christians is because we're not taking heed to what God says in his word. Amen? And then he also says, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed. Why? Because he promises, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We must remember that as Christians too. When we go out and we face each day, and we face the spiritual battles, we should not be afraid. We should be of strong and of good courage. Because why? Because God is with us whithersoever we goeth. Amen. And then we see, again, as we're looking at the battle plan here, we've looked at, first of all, this time the plan comes from the Lord, this battle plan. The plan calls for courage. Amen. Also, we see about this plan, everyone's participation. Not just 3,000 this time. Amen. Everybody. And what does that tell us? Every Christian must be battle ready and on duty. Every Christian, amen, must fill some role. You know, not be sitting on the sideline on the bench. Amen. But in the game, in the battle, amen. And then what else about the battle plan? Well, in this battle plan, God tells them that there's going to be utter destruction of the city. He tells them no inhabitant is to be left alive. The entire city is to be burned. How can we apply this to our lives as Christians today? Well, it's quite simple. When you deal with sin in your life, get rid of it completely, leaving nothing behind. Amen. And the principle being here is, if you mean business with God about sin in your life, then do what it takes to get rid of it completely. Amen. That's often what they do when they operate on someone that's diseased, that has cancer. They take out the cancer completely, because if they don't, the cancer will come back again and spread. Same way with sin. We need to get it out totally. If you leave a little bit in there, it's just going to come back, and you're going to end up in the same problem. Amen. Then the last thing about the battle plan, amen, We look at the Battle of Ai, the plan. Last thing we want to see is we're told to use the ambush. They're told use ambush tactic. We want to note that Ai was a city of only 12,000 men. But Joshua was not going to make the same mistake as before of being overconfident. This time, Joshua is prepared. Notice, 30,000 to lie in wait to the east of Bethel, 5,000 to lie in wait west of Ai. Joshua and his men will approach from the north, drawing the men of Ai out of the city. What's the principle we can learn from this? Sin cannot be dealt with until it is out in the open. And you have to get it out in the open and then fight it tooth and nail to finish in order to get the victory. Amen. Well, we're going to stop there. We still have some more things that we want to study about in lesson number 9, getting back in the fight, Joshua chapter 8. So when we meet again, we'll pick up and continue lesson number 9, getting back in the battle on Joshua chapter 8.